So it's time for this weekend's edition of MediaWise with Kamashoon Naman, helping you navigate the online world every weekend with a special guest. Ciarán O'Connor is on with me on MediaWise this weekend from the Institute for Strategic Dialogue. Ciarán's a senior analyst. How did you get involved with the ISD, Ciarán?
Well, I trained as a journalist and I worked with Storyful News organization, the news agency based in Dublin. I worked there for just over 5 years, I think, and a lot of that work revolved around verifying or debunking footage that was shared online, often amateur footage of people who may have been in the wrong place at the wrong time. So in the midst of maybe a terrorist attack or a bombing or maybe a shooting in the US or things like this, and happens to capture footage of a moment. So what Storyful's bread and butter really is finding that content and verifying if it is indeed Brussels on the given day that the video claims it is, or Las Vegas or any other place where some incident like that might be happening. So I learned a lot of kind of those fundamental skills in Storyful. And then over the years as I worked there, it became apparent that especially around things like elections and these kinds of high profile events, that online, the social media platforms were being used to not only produce false and misleading claims, deliberately producing them, but also promoting them and trying to take advantage of the kind of boosting and amplifying that social media platforms can do via algorithms and then things like this. So that kind of started off, a change in kind of focus and trying to understand how is social media being used to create, produce, promote false and misleading information. And that led to me joining ISD. I joined in, I think it's August 2020. So I'm coming up on 4 years here. And ISD stands for the Institute for Strategic Dialogue. It's a think tank based in London, but there's offices in Washington, D.C. and in Berlin. I'm based in Ireland. I work remotely here with another colleague. And ISD, I suppose, remit is focused on researching and analyzing online hate, online extremism, and online mis and disinformation. So that's across the board. You know, my German colleagues would do it in the German context, in the US context, and so on. I focus a lot on Ireland, but also international context as well. So in a typical day, what I'm doing really is you know, conducting analysis, monitoring kind of online content or discussions, and kind of seeing what are the major trends or the major topics that might be kind of emanating from, be it extremist organizations or communities online, but also what are the kinds of trends that are being seen around particular moments or periods. So take COVID, for example. A lot of monitoring went on during COVID to see what were the kind of false or misleading claims related to the virus, or maybe lockdowns, or maybe vaccines that were getting attention online. So that's kind of what I do on a day-to-day basis.
I mean, when you think about how, you know, technology has changed, and down through the years, we've always heard the phrase, you know, Big Brother is watching us, but it's never been more the case than nowadays when you consider adding into the mix social media and people's personal devices and phones taking video and photo. That's never been more the case than now.
No, it hasn't, and we all kind of carry around these computers in our pockets. They're no longer just phones, are they? And with that comes the potential for us all to be, you know, constantly consuming or producing media and content that can be shared online. And yet social media platforms or other organizations have the ability to maybe track or understand us maybe better than we understand ourselves. That's certainly the case with some of the suggested ads that I might get or other people might get online based on our activity across the entire web. So there is that sort of element nowadays of these platforms understand us, as I said, better than we do ourselves. But the flip side of that is that we all now have the potential to be misled or misinformed, or to kind of produce information or content that can be deliberately deceptive. And of course, people are free to use these devices to share their opinions online, and they should always be free to speak their minds as they wish, like that in an online setting as they would offline. But I suppose the key challenge is, or the kind of key challenge for us in researching this, is trying to track how this stuff might go from being just one person expressing their view to such claims maybe being amplified or being boosted and then potentially having harmful impacts offline too.
I mean, in the past, of course, people used to distribute pamphlets, or maybe they produced a newspaper. Nowadays, it's as easy as ever to get your message out there. And as you say, you know, people have the right to protest and maybe give their viewpoint. Mm-hmm. But it's when people twist it and create election disinformation or extremism. Mm-hmm. Is it a concern to you, for example, how AI has suddenly come on stream and how images can be falsified and video too?
Oh yes, it's becoming more difficult to tell fake pictures from reality or fake news and deep fakes of actual people supposedly talking or sharing their opinions.
How can we protect ourselves from this sort of media? How do we know what we're looking at is real or not?
That's the $1 million question, Robbie. Yeah, I mean, there's to form, I suppose, habits in helping to discern what is and isn't real. People should consider the visual details first, and then the context of an image second. So, the visual details being, of a portrait or a close-up image of people, is the skin texture too smooth or too perfect or lacking any blemishes? That's often the case with AI-generated imagery.
Yeah.
But also, as well as that, think of the placement of features. So fingers and ears and hands are often giveaways. What you often see is, maybe not five fingers on each visible hand, or the hand being in an impossible position in the context of the video or the image, or maybe the earlobe is not where you expect it to be or where it should be. And then as well as that, the lighting and shadows visible in an image. So the lighting that seems amiss can be a giveaway. So perhaps something like a dimly lit room, but there's bright faces or vice versa. So where do you expect the light to be coming from in the image that you're looking at? The wider context of the actual image itself, does the photo look realistic? As in, could a photographer have realistically captured that exact moment? And that could be especially true of, very dramatic imagery from nature or maybe from conflict zones.
We certainly are entering a whole new era, that's for sure, Ciarán. Thanks so much for joining us for MediaWise this weekend. Senior analyst at the Institute for Strategic Dialogue. Something tells me we've got our work cut out for us in the coming years to try and combat all this stuff. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks, Robbie.
MediaWise on Saturday Live every weekend, brought to you in association with Comisión Naman, helping you navigate the online world in a safe way. Back again next weekend on Sunshine 106.8, Dublin's easy place to relax.